Good morning. I wanted to share with you today just a little bit from my heart. Usually, I don't know if all preachers do this, but when I think about sermons, as I sort of mull around in my head for a long, long time before I ever put a pen or paper or a computer to it, and I told the guys today in the breakfast is that sometimes, you know, when you keep things for a long time, it either turns into a fine, glorious, wonderful wine, or sometimes you just get sauerkraut. So we're going to see what happens today. But I want to spend some time today to talk about a sermon that I've called Everything Money Cannot Buy. Now, this sermon may be a little bit premature because I'm going to spend most of the time today talking about my father and how he imparted things to me and how I describe my dad. If somebody asked me who my dad was or what he was like, I say, well, my dad looked like Archie Bunker, but he thought like Fred Sanford. And so that's how I would describe my dad. If you knew my dad, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So this may be a premature sermon about Father's Day. So I just wanted to spend some time talking about him, what I felt like he imparted to me, how that applies to the scripture, and what it means for you. And so if I had an overarching theme today or a scripture, is I would look at Galatians 5. You're familiar with the scripture, Galatians 5:22, and it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit deals with 9 attributes of what that fruit is. And my opinion is, and not everybody would agree with me, is I believe that the fruit of the Spirit is a gift that God gives to us. It's a gift that's bestowed to us. It's a gift that we see lived out in our lives when we feed the Spirit and we deny the flesh. There's somebody who's heard me preach before, so. But anyway, so just when we think about the fruit of the Spirit, I don't look at for something that is that we strive for or try to be, but I think about that as a gift that God gives us. It's imparted to us as we are believers. It is manifest in us as we deny the flesh and we feed the Spirit. So that's how I read when I read Galatians 5. That's when I look at that scripture and that's what I see happening there. And here's the verse that I want to talk about today is Galatians 5, verse number 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. That's a mouthful, but it's got to be a good fruit, doesn't it? So we're going to look at this today, and like I said, a mention to my dad is that I talked to him about, if you saw a picture of my dad, there's a, I don't have a lot of pictures of people in my office. I got pictures of things like mountains and rocks and trees and streams, and they're all in black and white. So I probably got some type of disturbance in me or something. Y'all need to pray for me. But if you go look at my office, there's a bunch of black and white pictures. But I do have a picture of some people in my office. I got a small picture of my family. It's real small because I'm in there and I don't want you to see me too well. And then there's a picture I have that was taken over 20 years ago of my dad and my firstborn son. And it's a reminder of me. When I look at that picture, I think about my dad. I think about what he meant to me. And I think about this verse and how he demonstrated this verse in his life and lived it out. So, but you need to know a little bit about my background and my dad. As I would describe my dad as a pre-antique dealer. Now, that's because I'm proud. And anybody else would call him a junk dealer. But, you know, I'm proud, and I'm going to say, well, he's a pre-antique dealer. He was way ahead of his time. And my dad could never pass up a garage sale or an auction or a flea market. If you had one, he was there. And if you didn't have one, he would have his own, okay? He had where Preco Pawn Shop is now, he used to rent a space and sell junk out of there. And I said, Dad, what is this stuff? He said, well, it's $2. I said, no, what is it? He goes, I don't know what it is. If I knew what it was, it'd be $4. So, you know, that was the kind of person my dad was. He and Mom had rented out the Bellmead Theater. What was the Bellmead Theater? And they ran a flea market and auction out of there. So it was something in the DNA of him and what he was, and he just was a harsh trader, like loved doing that kind of stuff. Now, I'm not particularly like that, but I probably am a carrier. So kids, my son's over here, so I'm just warning you, you know, that could pop up with you. You know, if you have more storage buildings than houses, you may have a problem. So, but anyway, so I think about my dad, and I see him, and I recognize him every time I watch American Pickers. they come up and they dig through these piles of junk and these garage. I said, I think my dad had one of those, and I threw it down there in the ditch. So Preston, don't throw nothing away. It may be valuable one day, so just to let you know. So, but he was a guy that was like that and loved that, and my dad really got that. Now, if my dad ever came home and he said, guess what I got today, you know you might be in trouble. Now, I'll tell you about a couple of things he brought home. One time he brought home, you know, these chicken boxes, you get these chickens, you order them from Pilgrim's Pride or Plantation, and they have boxes full of chickens, and you take them out, put them in bags, put them in a grocery store and sell them. Well, he came home with two chicken boxes full of buttons. Now, it was just buttons of buttons. There was no rhyme or reason for these buttons. And my siblings and I, we spent hours and hours of time picking out these buttons and making the same buttons look alike and put them in a baby jar and sell them for 75 cents a jar. Now, I'm not sure what two chicken boxes full of buttons worth, but it probably wasn't worth my time. But now I went to an antique store somewhere. They'd scooped up a random mason jar full of buttons, and they were $75. So I wish I could find those chicken boxes full of buttons again. And then one time he came home and he said, guess what I got? Well, he came home in a grain truck. He had borrowed a grain truck from Leonard Kempster over in Leroy. And in the back of this truck, he had 5,000 baseball hats. He had gotten to know the folks over at B&B Athletics. My dad did a lot with baseball back in the day. And, you know, B&B, they used to size your head, and you hope your kid's head didn't grow during the season so you wouldn't have to buy a second hat. But they'd size up your head, buy your regular regulation baseball hat, and if you had 11 kids, there was one hat left over. So, you wonder what happened to that one hat or that two hat left over out of that dozen? My dad got it. I just want to let you know. It ended up in that grain truck, and it ended up at my house about a block and a half from here up on Marable Street. My brother and I unloaded that truck in about 2 or 3 days, and we spent the whole summer sorting out hats by size and type and all that kind of stuff. And I don't have any more hats, so don't come ask me to buy one after church. But that was the kind of deals that my dad did, and I don't know if he ever made any money of that. But when I think about my dad, he was always the thrill of the deal. So I see Robbie smiling back there. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. And the other thing I want to talk about is a kid growing up. Back in the days, they used to sell live Christmas trees. Well, they weren't live because they cut them down, but they used to be live. But they used to sell Christmas trees at 7-Eleven. And so from the earliest days, I remember my dad talking about, you know, trying to make a deal on whatever he bought. Resourceful guy. Well, there was a tree over at the 7-Eleven. They used to have racks and racks of tree. And I think they charged $1 a foot. So this tree was $8. He said, man, that's too much for a tree. And there was a tree leaning over on the dumpster. And the guy, he said, well, how much you want for that tree? So I'm going to throw that one away. He goes, well, you know, he says, you know, that tree's bad on one side. Nobody wants that tree. He said, well, I'm going to put it in the corner. I'll take it. I'll give you $4 for it. So, you know, I might have been the first guy to have a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. But that was the kind of dad that I had, and I enjoyed doing that. And we also grew up working on junk cars and trying to make them run again. And have you ever heard this phrase before? Hold the flashlight where I'm looking, not where you're looking. If I heard that once, I probably heard it 100 times trying to help my dad at night trying to work on a car. So I've done that. The interesting thing is my dad spent a lot of time coaching baseball. Now, my brother was the baseball player. It makes no sense now as I look on it. I would play catch out in the deal, and I would play ball and stuff. We'd play pickup games and stuff. But I never played baseball because I was afraid to get hit by the baseball. So being the bright guy I am, I'm going to play football. Well, if you play football, you get hit on every play. If you play baseball, you may never get a ball the whole game. So I don't know where my logic was then, but my brother played baseball. And I'll come back and talk a little bit about that, of just how he impacted people's lives with that. But what I can tell you about my dad, and trying to build his character here and let you know a little bit about him, is that my father looked like Archie Bunker. He thought like Fred Sanford. And he gave me everything money cannot buy. So I want to talk to you today about everything money can't buy. And we're going to look at those 9 attributes from Galatians 5, each one at a time, and talk to you about how he lived that life out, how he showed that to me, and how I see his love demonstrated even after he's been gone for over 20 years. But the first thing I think about when it talks about in that long list of fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, as I think about love. And where do we go when we think about love? We go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I just read that verse to the kids, and I want to concentrate on the last part of that verse in verse 7. So 1 Corinthians 13, 7 says this, and it's talking about in regards to love, is that it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So we like the front half of love. We like receiving love. But do we ever look at that last half? And that's how I saw my dad live his life out, is that one thing that my dad gave me is he gave me time. He gave all that he had. I'm the last of four kids. It took my parents four tries to get it right. When they hit perfection, they quit having kids. So here I am, folks. But he gave all of us kids his time. He didn't have a whole lot of hobbies. His hobbies were what the kids wanted to do. And if he could sneak off and do some fishing and camping, we would do that. But when I think about my dad, I think about the time he gave us. And I think about the love he showed us. And the way I know that he loved us was not only how I knew I felt and I knew that he cared and loved about me, but because of these four things, is that he bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Now, there was a wedding here yesterday, and I went to Abilene to go to a wedding. I wish I could have come here. I wouldn't have to drive as far. But I'm going to get to eat some food today after lunch, so I appreciate you holding some food back for me, Dennis. But we don't talk about that. We don't talk about the hard things of love at weddings, do we? We get two people who think they like one another and they want to get married, and we're thinking to ourselves, sitting in our pew, I've been married for 31 years, and thinking like, they have no idea what they're in for. And I'm not going to tell them. I don't want to ruin the moment. But they'll get it figured out. So, but I remember even when we talk about a couple getting married, but when you talk about the love of a father, the love of a mother, love of somebody close to you, as you see that it's enduring all these things that we talked about, that it bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. The next thing in that list that we talk about in Galatians 5 is we talk about joy. We talk about joy. Now, we think about joy versus happiness. I think a lot of us are looking for happiness. We want things to make us happy. We want people to make us happy. But the difference between joy and happiness is based on happenings. What is happening? What's happening right now? We live in a senseless society. We got to pull our cell phones out, see if somebody texts us back, see if somebody liked our post. You know, it'd be terrible if somebody didn't like my post. I put it up there 5 minutes ago and nobody's liked it. Well, they gave me a thumbs up. How come they didn't give me a heart? So we're looking for happiness there. What about joy? Joy is something that, I think joy is something that comes from God. And joy is something my dad exhibited, and I recognize as my dad, I lived in Waco and moved to West when I was in junior high and high school, but I grew up going to the West Church. And I'm not the West Church, but the Leroy Church. And the Leroy Church is unusual in the fact it's what some people call a union church. It was Baptist on one Sunday and Methodist on the other. And so we won't go into that right now, but we had the same preacher for both Sundays. It would just depend on whether it was even or odd. I think the Methodist had the odd. That sounds right, doesn't it? I think the Methodist had all the odd Sundays and the Baptist got the even Sundays. But anyway, is that he was a song leader, the choir director, the music director, whatever you want to call him, of the Leroy Tabernacle Choir. Now, we didn't really call it the Tabernacle Choir, but I could hear my dad singing those great hymns. And I still hear, I sit over here by James, and James sings those hymns, and I can hear my dad in those hymns. And so my dad was, it talks about the second thing was joy, and my dad was joyful. Not only in his countenance, but also he was rejoiced and had joy when he sang his song, when he sang to the Lord. And, you know, we went with him as a kid a couple of times. He would get revivals to lead singing on and revivals and that kind of stuff. But I still hear my dad. I can hear the old rugged cross, how great thou art. And I appreciate a church that will sometimes keep singing those old hymns, because those old hymns go back generation after generation after generation. And it's not only tradition, but it's also about that joy, the joy we feel remembering those folks and know who they are. So my dad distributed or enjoyed a joyful noise with his voice. And it talks about in Psalm 66:1, it says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious." And so when I think about my dad and this attribute of through the Spirit, I know that he was a joyful soul. Also, the next thing when we're looking at that long list of what the fruit of the Spirit is, the next one is peace. So, you know, and this is all in context of things that money can't buy. The things we get from God are things that money cannot buy. And so my dad was a peacemaker. Now, you guys know that if you're a coach, whether it's a profession or whether it's a volunteer, if you're a coach or if you're in scouts, working as a scoutmaster, assistant scoutmaster, or working with Girl Scouts, or working in any of those type of things with kids, is that sometimes you have to be a peacemaker. Sometimes the parents act like kids and the kids act like parents. I'm not pointing anybody out. But my dad was a peacemaker when he used to coach baseball and work with the parents, and then he worked on the board and that kind of thing. But he made things work well, and he made things run well, and people know that they could count on him to be a peacemaker, a level head, and sometimes in not such a calm environment. But he was a good guy, and he was a good peacemaker. He was peaceful at home and outside of the home. And peace is not an attribute easily acquired, is it? We pay for patience and we pray for peace. But peace is something that God gives us. And that's why it's the fruit of the Spirit, one of the fruit of the Spirit. And the verse I think about when I'm thinking about peace is that there's a verse that is over in Psalms 34:14. It says, "Take away from evil and do good. Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." So peace is not for the faint of heart. Sometimes we have to pursue it. Sometimes we have to pursue it in the middle of a storm. Sometimes we have to seek after it. Sometimes we have to pray for it. But I remember my dad being a peaceful soul at home and outside of the home. And my dad was a person that was what you see is what you get. And so he demonstrated that peacefulness at home. Now, if you think things are going to get easier on the list, I think this list gets harder and harder as we go along. The next thing we see love, joy, peace, patience. Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. A lot of times is how our prayer is, isn't it? But when I think about my dad is that he was patient. He demonstrated his patience by taking his kids fishing and camping. And you know, if you take kids fishing, that means the kids are fishing and you're not. You're untangling lines. You're putting hooks back on. You're trying to retrieve that brand new $4 lure you got stuck in a tree. So my dad did a lot of that stuff. We would fish for a little while, and when the kids got tired of it, he could sit down and fish. But he also he demonstrated patience by that, and also by we called it camping. I'm not sure why my parents called it camping, because to my knowledge, my parents never owned a tent. When I went camping, I either slept on the ground, on a sleeping bag, in the back seat of the car, in the trunk of the car. Now, I only slept in the trunk of the car when my brother wasn't there, because he would close the trunk. And so, you know, that was my experience of camping. So we camped without a tent. But my dad demonstrated a lot of patience just with being with his family. And that first thing we talked about, love, is love takes a lot of time. My dad demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit by his love, but also by his patience and be willing to work with us in a not so easy time of teaching kids how to fish, how to play baseball, how to camp. The verse that I think about is going to be in Ephesians 4, the first couple of verses in Ephesians 4, 1 and 2. It says, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. So my dad demonstrated his patience by how he worked with his own family and as well as those around him. The next thing that I remember is that my dad was a kind person, and my dad demonstrated his kindness, and I don't know where this fits in the category, and I saw this in him, and I didn't understand it at first, but my dad had showed no partiality to any particular person, whether you were the richest man in town or just a bum, is that he treated you the same way. He treated you with respect. He gave you respect whether you deserved it or not. He was kind to you whether you deserved it or not. And that's a important character to demonstrate. And I sort of put that under the category here of kindness. I've seen my dad give no special regard to somebody. You know how some people will change the way they deal with people because of their status or who they are, or that they're the principal of the school, or that this person over here is held in high esteem, is that we treat them different than maybe somebody else. But I never saw my dad do that. I saw my dad treat you with the respect and honor that is due you just because you're a created human being from God. And I think that carries over to some of the way I manage and some of the way I talk to people, is that he demonstrated, whether you're rich or poor, that kindness in everybody. And I saw that demonstrated. And that's a quality I find rare, and I don't see that in a lot of people, is that they demonstrate that kindness without showing partiality to your status in life. And so when I think about that, I go to Proverbs 21:21. And the verse that I think about there is that whoever pursues righteousness and kindness will have life, righteousness, and honor. So these are things that I think about when I think about my dad. And these are things I can't go to. These are one of the things you can't go to Walmart and buy. You know, where do you keep your kind? What shelf is your kind? I'm looking for kindness and goodness. I would like to go to some aisle in Walmart and be able to buy that. But these are things that my dad showed me and my dad gave me that money couldn't buy. The next thing is that I see my dad is that it's goodness. The next list that we look at on this fruit of the Spirit is goodness. My dad demonstrated his goodness by taking care of his family. Now, my dad never made a whole bunch of money, and I didn't know that until I was trying to make my own money. And I pulled out an old file one time I had, and I told you I'm a character. I'm sort of a closet hoarder, I guess you will. I throw some stuff away. But I found one of the very first financial aid forms that you fill out to go to college. And so I looked at that form, and I looked at it, and he had to report your family's income, and you had to report your own income, and then you send it to the office, and they do calculation and tell you whether you qualify for financial aid, Pell Grants, Stafford Loans, all that kind of stuff in college. And so the interesting thing, when I look at that form, is that I made half as much money as my dad did. Now, my dad was working full-time, and I was working part-time. And so I said, you know, my dad was broke. And I didn't really recognize that or appreciate that until I tried to start paying for college on my own and figure life out and all those kind of things. But somehow he and my mom figured out how to make that work. And so that's the other thing I think about, is that from a world status, my parents never had a whole lot. Now, I say that, and you can look at a whole lot into different dimensions, is that my dad at one time had 7 cars, and there was only 2 licenses in the house. And we had them parked down the street over here. We lived next door to Tommy Tucker over here down the corner. And so my dad had 7 cars, and he was hustling cars at the time and buying and selling. And I wish I had some of those old cars now. I could have showed them at the car show last week. But so, you know, but I think about that. And my dad was good because somehow, way, shape, or form, he figured out how to take care of his family, to provide for them, to put a roof over their head, to make sure we had clothes on our back, and to make sure we got to do fun stuff from now from time to time. And the verse I would pick out there would be Romans 15:14. And this is Paul says, he's a minister to the Gentiles. He says, I myself am satisfied about you, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and able to instruct one another. So I saw my dad as being full of goodness because he took pride in being able to take care of his family. He may not have been able to take care of his family as well as somebody else could have, but he took care of his family the best way that he could take care of them. And I appreciate that. And I hold that in high regard. The next thing I want to talk about in this long list, and it seems as these lists goes along, is that some of the stuff gets harder and harder when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit. The next thing I see, God, is that he talks about faithfulness. He talks about faithfulness. My dad demonstrated faithfulness, is that he was a faithful, man, that's hard to talk. He showed faithfulness to my mother by taking care of her. My mother had a stroke when she was 58 years old. She's been in a rest home for 26, 27 years. She lives at the West Rest Haven. And when mom first got into a rest home, she's in a rest home down in Temple. My dad lived here in the West area. And my dad would spend all his days driving for work, and then he would drive down to Temple to see her every other day and bring her home on weekends. But he was just faithful to that. In a time that some people would give up or not try to make it work or just try to write that part of his life off, is that he stepped up, he manned up, and he went and showed his and demonstrated his love to his wife by being faithful to her and going and see her every other day and to bring her home on the weekends and make sure she got to spend special time with us on holidays and stuff. And that's a lot of work. So some of you folks who are caretakers to those, that's a lot of work. But Dad showed that, is that that was just the right thing to do. That was the thing he did, and he demonstrated his faithfulness in that. And Psalms 119, verse 30, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. So that was a conscious decision by my dad to be faithful and show that he still loved his wife and he was going to take care of her and do everything he could for her. The next thing I think about with my dad in this long list of the fruit of the Spirit, number 8, gentleness. My dad was a gentle person. He was gentle to men and gentle to creatures, gentle to all God's creatures. So my dad would give you a benefit of the doubt. He would give you the shirt off his back. He would treat you with kindness when you didn't deserve it. And that's what I think about when he does that. But he also was kind to creatures. My dad grew up in a place that most of y'all probably wouldn't live. And this house he lived in had a bunch of cats underneath there. And he talked bad about the cats, but he fed them every day. So I think about that and sort of the dichotomy there of fussing about them, but making sure they had something to eat. But my dad was a gentle soul. And I don't know if it was by design or default. I think gentleness is something we learn along the way. I'm not sure it's a characteristic that were easy for men to attain, but it's an important characteristic, it was one that I had demonstrated to me by my dad. In Psalms 18:35, he says, "You have given me the shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great." So we see God's demonstrate his gentleness to us so we can extend gentleness to others. And then the last one is self-control. But I want to tell you a story before then. Is just the impact you're having on my, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but just the impact that you have on people's life. Let's wrap this up with self-control. It talks about my dad was, and I put self-control under graciousness. I don't think self-control comes until we can step back and appreciate what people have done for us. We appreciate what our parents may have done for us or our grandparents. We appreciate what our aunts and uncles have done for us. But we also step back and take and appreciate what God has done for us. And so this last attribute is self-control, and I sort of see that also as steadfastness. What gives us that steadfastness? What gives us the joy, the peace, the patience to continue to go on, to carry on and do his works, and to be a person of self-control is because what God and other people have done for us. In Titus 2:2, there's a charge given in Titus 2:2 that says, older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-control, and sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. So we demonstrate self-control as we practice the fruit of the Spirit, as God unveils that for us, as we live that out, as that manifest in our Christian lifestyle. There's one story I'll share just briefly. As I remember, I moved back. I lived in Houston for about 10 years and did some work there. And I came back to Waco to teach at the college. And I was buying shoes for one of my kids, and I was at the shoe store writing a check. And the guy looked at the check and said, "Do you know Sam Ewing?" Think like, well, yeah, I know Sam. I mean, my dad had already passed by then. And I said, yeah, I know Sam. Sam's my brother. I have a brother, Sam, just for you. No, this would be much other guy's stuff. I said, well, my dad, he's Sam. Oh, well, Sam. I said, you know, your dad coached my baseball team. And my dad had, I don't know, 8 or 10 different baseball teams he coached along the ways. Your dad was great. You know, he believed in me. He was a great coach. He would just encourage me and stuff. And so I'm thinking, this guy is selling me shoes, and he's talking about my dad, and he's 15, 20 years removed from the baseball field. I don't think his uniform and cleats fit anymore. But this is just what we would think is a small task of reaching out to people, showing love and extending that to a baseball team, a basketball team, a volleyball team, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, Vacation Bible School. When we say those kind words, when we reach out and encourage those kids and show them love, kindness, the fruit of the Spirit, that's going to have an impact on their life. And you may not really recognize that when you do it. That may be second nature to you, but that's just the kindness of God, and you may have no idea what that impact will do for that person. So as we look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, and we pray that God will have that manifest in us, that that gift will be given to us, also pray is that how you affect other people's lives when you're doing that. Now, there's one charge I want to give to you parents and grandparents and young adults, is that you don't need to worry if children are listening to you. Rather, you need to know that they are always watching you. So I talk about the fruit of the Spirit. As my dad didn't come to me in sermons, he didn't write me a lesson plan, he didn't get an overhead projector and say, here's what you need to do. He didn't give me a PowerPoint over here and tell me what to do. But I learned this from my dad because I was always watching. And people are always watching you. And so I sort of want that's sort of part of what the message I want you to read as we think about Galatians 5. I'm giving a personal encounter of who my dad is, but you've got your own story about those people who've impacted your life. And understand is that we may not always hear what they say. We may not always be listening, but we are always watching, aren't we? Aren't we? So I hope that speaks to you. I wanted to read something that I wrote here, because if I don't, I'll chase even more bunnies. I've got a little time left. We'll make sure that spaghetti may need another 3 or 4 minutes, so I'll carry on here. So there is no reason the world would give regard to my father. He earned no awards or degrees. As far as I know, he never rescued anybody from a burning house or a car wreck or peril. There are no history books with his name in it, no great deeds recorded. By all practical means, the world would consider him a failure. But in God's economy, in 1 Corinthians 1:27, it says, he used the foolish things to confound the wise and the weak things to shame the strong. Now, this is a passage speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ and why the gospel of Jesus Christ doesn't make sense. But we have a loving God who came down and condescended himself in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to pay a price that we couldn't pay, so we can have a relationship with God. But that's what that verse is about. But I say God uses the foolish things to confound the wise, and he uses the weak things to shame the strong. And in our economy, my dad would be a failure, but in God's economy, that's what we live in. This is where God's economy is. It's in that passage because it's speaking about the gospel of the cross. So I spend all my time to talk about my father here, not because the world holds him in high regard, but I do, and because God does. And we don't have to question that, because he sent a Savior to die on the cross for us, to pay a price that we couldn't pay. And so my father gave me everything money couldn't buy. He gave me love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So let's pray. Father God, we come to you today. We can rejoice, Father, because you have given us the fruit of the Spirit. Father, I pray that we'll demonstrate our love to you by our service and demonstrate our love to our fellow men because of what you've done for us, Father. I pray now that as we go throughout this week, is that we won't worry whether or not people are listening so much to us, but that we will know that they are always watching. And I pray that we live a life to bring glory, honor, and praise to you. Amen.